Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And today, I believe we are going to wrap up Perek Daled. We're going to wrap up chapter 4. We're up to the last four sentences. The Jews have set up 12 stones as a monument on the site where the water dried up in the Yarden. They've taken another 12 stones that are going with them to be set up at Gilgal that night. And Yehoshua now turns to the nation with a closing speech, sentences 21 to 24. It relates directly to the stones. What's interesting in particular here is that it's a speech Yehoshua already gave, meaning if you look back in our perek to sentences 5 to 7, right? Yehoshua said to the 12 representatives of the nation, go in front of the Aron into the Yarden, take for yourselves each one stone on his shoulders, so that these will be a sign in your midst when your children ask you tomorrow, what are these stones? And you will tell them, the waters of the Yarden split before the Aron, and these stones will be a memorial for you forever. Right? That was what we saw back there. Well, take a look here and see what Yehoshua says. Vayomer al b'nei Yisrael le'mor. Yehoshua said to the nation, saying, or here's the message, Asher yishalum b'neichem machar es avosam le'mor. Your children are going to ask tomorrow. They're going to ask their fathers, saying, Maha avanim ha'ela. What are these stones? Vodatem es b'neichem le'mor. And you shall tell your sons. And here's your message. Bayabasha avar Yisrael es ha'yarden hazeh. The Jews crossed this Yarden on dry land. Asher hovish Hashem Elokechem es mei ha'yarden mipnechem ad ovrechem. Hashem, your God, dried up the Yarden before you until you crossed. Kasher asa Hashem Elokechem liyamsuf asher hovish mipanenu ad ovreinu, like he did for the Yamsuf, which he dried out until you would be able to cross there. Not entirely the same, of course. The Yarden was a halting of the river as opposed to Yamsuf, which is a splitting of a sea. And there are other differences. Nonetheless, he makes the comparison. L'mandas kol amei ha'aretz es yad Hashem ki chazaka hi. And the goal is for all of the nations of the land to know Hashem's hand is mighty. L'man yirasem es Hashem Elokechem kol hayamim. And a second goal for you, right? There are two goals here, as the Barbanel notes. One is for the nations to see and be impressed. And the other is for you to revere Hashem all of your days. So why do you need this speech when he already made the speech earlier? So the Malbim says that there's a difference in terms of which generation we're talking about. He says the first one was Asher Yishalun B'neichem Machar, what your children are going to ask tomorrow. That means your children are going to ask you. That's this generation. And they're going to say, Maha Avanim Ha'el Alachem, what are these stones to you? Whereas the next passage, the one that's at the end of the Perek, that's different because there it says, Yishalum b'nechem machares avosam lemor. Your children are going to ask their fathers, not they're going to ask you, they're going to ask their fathers. That's a future generation. Now Yehoshua is looking further down the line. Okay, so we've seen the elevation of Yehoshua via this great miracle that Hashem performs. We've seen Yehoshua do some pretty good things. We've seen him possibly spontaneously decide on that extra 12 stones as a monument in the Yarden. There's a lot of emphasis here on witnessing these events. You have the 12 men who are set up, who are witnesses to the events. We have the monuments that are set up. We have the testimony for future generations about this. We had Midrashim identify extra miracles in nuances in the text, whether that's the Aron carrying the Kohanim across because it looks like they got out on the eastern side of the Yarden and then were brought across, or the idea that the Aron, that the Jews gathered together before they crossed the Yarden right in front of the Aron and they all squeezed into the space between the poles of the Aron. We talked about the theme of the 12 stones in Tanakh and how that's seen here as well. But there's a postscript. Ralbag's perspective on whatever it was that happened here. Ralbag has a very long comment regarding this miracle. And he says the following. He says, our sages have already established in us, rooted in us, that miracles don't involve creation of something new. And he points to a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud, in which Rava asks, Moshe talks about what should happen to Korach. He says, "Vimbri'a yivra Hashem." If Hashem will create something brand new and the land will open up and so on. That's what Moshe says there. And Rava challenges it because Ein kol chadash tachas Hashemesh. There's nothing new under the sun, as Rabbah quotes you from that Gemara and from Koheles. So he says the answer there for the Gemara in Sanhedrin is that it wasn't new because things happen where the earth will swallow something up. He said, looking at the wording in Rabbah himself, all that happened in that miracle in Korach was that the process for the earth to swallow things up was accelerated. Because it does happen with the land over a long period of time. He says some kind of a smoky vapor builds up under the earth, and over time it'll make a crack. He's explaining, some kind of an earthquake phenomenon or maybe geyser phenomenon. Unclear exactly what he's referring to, but his point is that the Gemara says you can't have something brand new created. And he says, well, over here you're talking about having something brand new created. He says, water, by its nature, flows downstream. And here I'll give you my translation of what he writes. He says, it is unimaginable that an entity could be created that would contradict its own existence, such as to make the length of the side of a square equal to the length of its hypotenuse, or a triangle of straight lines with angles that are less or more than two right angles. Right? He's giving you all the geometry that you didn't enjoy the first time around in elementary school. So he says, you can't create a square where the side is equal to the length of the hypotenuse. That's nonsense. So he says, given that this is so, and given that water naturally seeks the lowest available spot, it would appear that the miracle, meaning splitting the Yarden, occurred through means which may not be ascribed to God to perform this sign in this way. He says, you're telling me that water, which naturally flows to the lowest spot, now did not do so. It just stayed where it was. He says, that can't be. It's not possible. And he says, you're going to argue with me and say, well, in Sefer Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah go into a furnace and they survived. So fire became cold. So maybe you'll bring that as a proof that water could also cease to flow downstream. But he says, no, because that wasn't what happened in the furnace at all. Rather, what happened was Hashem gave Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah the trait that certain creatures have, that they can survive fire. That's what Hashem did for them. So he says the same thing is true over here. You want to know what happened? Plexiglass happened. He says, my translation, perhaps Hashem created a transparent solid in the air, close to that water, blocking the water from descending. Alternatively, perhaps God created a strong wind to blow the water back, keeping it from descending. So Rabbag is saying Hashem does not create things that are brand new anymore. Rather, Hashem blocked the water or blew it, but not that he suspended water's natural property of flowing downstream. Others disagree with Ralbag. Abarbanel says, come on. He says, that's silly. V'ha Ralbag, hirba devarim b'neis hazeh laseis drachim tiviyim mechuburim l'derech hamofes v'hu be'emes shav u'devar kazav. He says, Ralbag said a lot of things regarding this miracle, trying to give natural means then connect it to the miracle. He says, that's empty. That's just false. He says it's just wrong. He says, Lo katsra yad Hashem mehoshia. There is nothing limiting God's hand. God can do whatever he wants, and obviously that's what happened here. Malbim says also, he says, don't be ridiculous. A miracle can be anything, yesh mi yesh. He says, it's true Hashem no longer creates yesh mi ayin, creating something from nothing. Hashem did that in creation, and that's when that stopped. But Hashem can certainly create or form one thing from another. Hashem can change the laws of nature. And he said, I have news for you. Water flowing downstream isn't the property of water in the first place. Now, Ralbag, remember, lives in the 14th century. The Malbim, on the other hand, is 18th, 19th century. So you know, part of this may be a change in the way we look at physics. But he says water doesn't descend. It's a function of an external force. It's about gravity drawing it downstream. You know, you could create a vacuum, and that will lift something upward. That's not a miracle. So Barbanel and Malbim disagree with Ralbag. And then you have an intermediate perspective, which is brought from the Rashba. The Rashba in Bava Basra, Ayin Dalet, Amud Beis. Also, the Rambam's Ma'amar al Tchiyas HaMesim. And they say that the fact that Hashem can perform nature-changing miracles does not mean that we have to explain it to be a nature-changing miracle each time. In other words, yes, Abarbanel, Malbim, that perspective is correct. Hashem can do whatever he wants. However, this idea that Ralbag is proposing is not beyond the pale. The truth of the matter is that there can be things that Hashem did in ways that fit with what we know of the natural world. Rashba and Rambam, this middle path, are not talking about our story in particular. It's their philosophy of Nisim. It's their philosophy of miracles. So we have three different perspectives. But just to come back to Ralbag, what's really bothering him here? It's the question of how God runs the universe. It's not a question of what God can do. It's a question of what God does do. Ralbag has an idea which comes up in a range of places. For example, in his commentary to Shmuel Beis, Perichav Beis, Shmuel 2:22-11, Vayirkav al Kruv Vayaof, in which he describes Hashem running the world via something called the Seichel HaPoel, or the active intellect. There's a lot to say about the concept of a Seichel HaPoel. This was a big idea in the period of the Rishonim and earlier. It's not only a Jewish idea, it's found elsewhere. But basically what Ralbag is talking about is an entity that is the lowest rung of Malach, of angel. And what he says is that Hashem operates this world via this agent Hashem created called the Seichel HaPoel. And the Seichel HaPoel is not capable of rewriting the laws of nature. That's above its pay grade. Hashem can do whatever he wants, but Hashem has delegated this job to the Seichel HaPoel, and the Seichel HaPoel cannot do certain things. This is going to come up again when we talk about the sun halting in the war defending Givon in chapters 9 and 10. So, you know, keep this idea close at hand. But he writes about it in his Sefer Melchamos Hashem, Chelek Vav, Beis Yud Beis. He says that's the issue. The issue is that not what God can do, but I believe that Hashem has assigned a malach, a low-level malach, for the job of running this world, and that malach doesn't get to change water. So all of these different views about what exactly happened when the Yarden stopped flowing, was it Hashem put an obstruction in the way, per Ralbag, or caused a wind to blow it? Or is it, no, what it looked like, it just stopped flowing, whether Abarbanel or Malbim. Abarbanel just saying Hashem can do whatever he wants. Malbim saying that even if there is some kind of a limitation, really, you know, water is not inherently flowing downstream. It's a function of external forces. And then you have the idea of the Rashba and the Rambam on miracles overall, that Hashem can change nature, but Hashem chooses not to. Tomorrow, God willing, we will begin Perek Hey, Chapter 5, in which we will find out that the Amorite kings hear all about what has just happened at the Yarden, and their hearts melt. And then we will see the first steps of the Jews in their new land.